Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest, and I thank you for that. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a part of Mrs. Green's world community. And I want to mention right up front that this show is made possible because of the support of Discount Cab Company. Gotta love Discount Cab, not just because they have those very eco-friendly cars that are fuel efficient, but for their support of many things in the community, including the work of Mrs. Green's World. We are most appreciative, Mike Wall. I am pleased to welcome our two in-studio guests for this Down to Earth show, Suzanne McFarlane, who is the Executive Director of Greater Tucson Leadership, which I'm going to try to articulate as GTL, not GTO in the rest of the show, and Ben Korn, who is an alumni of the Greater Tucson Leadership Program and the incoming governing board president. And Ben, when I was doing the research for the show, I thought, well, it really worked because you're stepping into leadership, a graduate. And then Suzanne probably, you know, hooked you right away and said, oh, do you want to be incoming president? So welcome to both of you. You are also the chair, Ben, of the Man and Woman of the Year and Founders Award Gala, which is coming up in February. So, wow, I guess it really stuck.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's great to have you here, and you both have great radio voices, as I'd like to say. So, Suzanne, can you give us a little bit of historical perspective? I had no idea that GTL was over 30 years old. Like 2015, it'll be 35 years, I think.
Yeah. So GTL started in 1980 at the Chamber of Commerce. And at the time, there was a trend among Chamber of Commerce is to start these kind of civic leadership programs. So the program was at the Tucson Metro Chamber for 5 years, and then they decided not to do the program anymore. And the alumni got together and said, hey, let's keep this going.
Awesome.
And so they formed a nonprofit organization. They formed a 501c3, and it was a fully volunteer-led organization for 20 years. For 20 years, they put on this class. And then we eventually hired a halftime executive director, and here we are after 33 years.
Fast forward, I did not know that missing piece. I mean, that's pretty amazing that they said, no, this isn't going away, which means it worked. Mm-hmm. It benefited them, and they said, we want to have it go. Okay. So I want to talk about what do you do in the classes? It's a big time commitment. We'll talk about who you're looking for. Once you tell us a little bit, like, Ben, what are some of the things that you had in the classes that you really liked, and how did it help you?
Basically, the way that it's structured is we take a full day on a Friday once a month over the course of nine months. Yeah. And each of those days, each of those Fridays that the class convenes together for the whole day, we cover a different topic. We call them issue days. And we have Environment Day, we have Border Day, we have Criminal Justice Day, we have Education Day, and so on. And so each of those days, we have the top end people from each of those categories come and speak to us and really educate us about the issues that are facing our community here in Tucson and how it is that people can get involved and make a difference here locally. So, for example, you know, we've had the superintendent of schools for Tucson Unified School District and Pima County come in on Education Day. On Border Day, we actually went down to the border and we talked to some ranchers and the Santa Cruz County Sheriff. Media Day, you know, actually you came and spoke to us, but we also had the editor of the Arizona Daily Star and we took a tour of that facility. So really, really hands-on and high-level experience for the people that are in the class to be able to see what the inside stuff is on those issues. And also, for me, I thought one of the biggest pieces of it was the ability to ask those people that are at the top of each of those categories the questions that I've always wondered about that I had never, ever been able to ask directly to the person that could influence change in that area.
And I know this is going to sound a little bit, it's not really tangential, but so you go to these unbelievable classes that are content rich and you have experts. What about the time to build relationships among each other, which I think is probably critical based on what you said, that, that the alumni got together and said, whoa, this is not going away. We're going to do this. So, Suzanne, do you make sure as the executive director that there's time for building relationships?
Absolutely. So we teach leadership by teaching about the community and helping them build connections. So one piece is building the connections amongst their class members. It's a really diverse group of people that are in the class. So it's very interesting for people to create these touch points with folks that they probably would never know and have access to in other ways, but also with our speakers. So they get the opportunity, like Ben said. Ben was an A-plus student. He always came prepared. he did his research. He had articles he was sharing with people. But we always try to help the class members, give them the ability to make connections. We sometimes do activities in small groups. They work on a class project, so they get very close. And the class project is the opportunity for them to identify something where I say, where's a missing gap in our community? Or where is a gap? What's missing? How might you all be able to step up to create something that helps our community and demonstrates your leadership? So the idea is kind of like an action learning project. They're forced to figure out how to form team, how to form leadership, how to form action, how to follow through on that. So they get to know each other very well.
And in the mix of things, when you develop curriculum, is it the same curriculum each year with different speakers, or does the students, the participants, I don't want to call them students, but the greater Tucson leaders that are coming, emerging every day, are they instrumental in helping to design the curriculum for the next go around?
Well, thanks for asking that, because the other amazing thing about building leadership and what our alumni are capable of doing, for 33 years now, they've planned each of our issue days. So each of our issue days, as Ben had mentioned, are topically based. So at the end of one of our class years, which usually ends in June, well, prior to that, we ask who's interested in helping us for our issue days for the next year. And all of our alumni sign up, and I have anywhere from like 4 to 8 people on each of the issue day teams, people that are passionate about maybe healthcare or criminal justice, something like that. And they form to work out who are the speakers, how might they like to construct the day to really bring home the point and whatever the purpose of that day is. So I have them really think about, what do you want people to go away with? How do you want them to be changed in some way by this class? So then they form as a team to figure out how they want to execute that.
They're pretty blessed to have someone with the skills that you have. I mean, I know you're my friend, but to have the leadership that you provide in terms of your coaching, your training and coaching experience and ability and the things that you've accomplished. So it's a tribute to you, but it's also a great gift to help them to formulate the direction. So Ben, what appealed to you? You are a leader. You can tell from hello. Now you're going to be the board president. What appealed to you about it? Because it is a huge time commitment to take a day off a month from everybody's busy lives. And if you have an employer, that has to be worked out. So what appealed to you about Greater Tucson Leadership?
Well, there's a variety of things. I mean, you can look at the alumni base and the people that have gone through it. I was aware of the program a couple, 3-4 years before that I actually went through it. And I was just trying to make sure that I had the ability and the time to do so, and was really thrilled when I got the opportunity to jump in and get involved with the class. The people that were in my class, you talked about time to get to know each other. I didn't know coming into it hardly anybody, but they were very diverse, like Suzanne said. And you know, at first, just as anybody naturally would do, you look around the room and you think, gosh, who am I going to be able to relate to here? And I came out of it with like 30 brand new, great, great friends that I could connect with for, you know, years to come. And so it was really fulfilling in that manner, just because I knew that I came across or connected with a whole bunch of people that really are passionate about the community, who are going to continue to be out there involved in the community. So I kind of got a feeling that that was part of the deal going into it, and it certainly came true. And
baby, look at you now. There he is. He's never leaving. Suzanne, is there such a thing as kind of a sketch of an ideal candidate in terms of age or where they are in their company? Or are you looking for more business owners or government? Is it a mix? Because it's such an integration of thought in terms of what you cover. Are you looking for... Tell us about the kind of candidates that you're looking for and hope to get into the next class.
So when people ask me that question, I always stress diversity. And when those folks are accepted to the class, I say, you're here because you're unique. And when we talk about a topic like education, your responsibility is to step up to the table and ask questions and be inquisitive and offer input, that kind of thing. So when I seek individuals, it's really about people that are passionate about our community and want to step up. So we have in our current class a 25-year-old and a 60-year-old and folks all in between. But I always say this class is for typically emerging to mid-level leaders typically, but then we do get business owners, we get executive directors of nonprofit organizations. So we get people that are in different phases of their career, but they're already people that have demonstrated a passion for our community and want to be better community leaders.
And in terms of some of the people, there are people that I know in Tucson, and we were talking about it a little bit, like Cheryl Horvath, who's a friend of mine. She's the Northwest Fire District chief. I mean, she tried to recruit me, I think, when I was young. It's a long time ago, so I should remember that. She's an example. Jenny Grable's an example. And I'm sure you're connected with some of the people that you've been involved with since your leadership. What kinds of things did they tell you about the class that created a change for them?
Oh, that's actually so much fun, because our last day we call to action day. And for the last 2 years and this upcoming year, we will have it at Canyon Ranch, which is such a beautiful setting for reflection anyway.
And
Amy Zuckerman,
she was in
the class last year.
Yes, yep. There you go.
So we, at the call to action day, they're asked to bring a leadership plan. And basically in the leadership plan, they're asked to reflect upon, how have I changed? So how am I thinking and behaving differently? And what commitments am I going to make moving forward because of this experience? Because I also say to our class members that they pay tuition to be part of our class, but it only covers about half of what it costs to run our small organization,
right,
which puts on this class. So I say the community invests in them to be leaders. So I say you have a responsibility. It's not just when you come out of this class, wow, great, I feel better about myself. But
it's applying it.
Yeah, you got to apply it in some way. You have to step up. So this call to action day, the best part of the day, though, is the afternoon of it, each of the class members share not their whole leadership plan, but they share the ways that they've been changed. And it is extraordinary, both from a professional and personal basis, just what people say, things like, I found my voice. I know how to make a difference now and have impact. I know where to go to get questions answered. I'm educating people in the environment, the circles that I run in. I'm sharing information that I learned. They get promotions, they change jobs, they find
relationships.
So there's
a real pebble in the pond effect.
Yeah.
So Ben, not to put you on the spot, do you remember, I mean, you're young, so I hope you remember the call to action day, what you declared and some of the things you said, do you remember?
That was, I remember a lot of tears shed in that room, actually.
That's great to share that with us.
It was people that really had gotten to a place where they could reflect and say, gosh, you know what, I've come a long way and I've learned a lot of things in the process here. And I was taken back. It was an emotional day for people, and it was kind of the culmination of the whole process. And you know, I was previously the president of Tucson Young Professionals, and, you know, in that capacity, we realize that there's a lot of people in Tucson that graduate from college. They go other places to find jobs because there's not as many opportunities in that. There's that perception here locally, and so we've always been trying to move that. And so, in addition to Tucson Young Professionals and the greater Tucson leadership, and now Man and Woman of the Year, I just wanted to keep on applying myself and being involved with the you know, the ability to empower people to be here locally and step out and lead, and also just be able to make a difference and be the ones that can really go forward and change Tucson for the better. Because it's always said that we've got so much potential here. And there's a lot of that could still be realized.
And I am just, I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm just going to give my two cents. There are a lot of great opportunities in Tucson. There are a lot of great jobs. And as long as we keep saying there are no good jobs here, that's what our graduates will think. And there are a lot of good jobs here. We've got to stop saying that. I mean, I had Bruce Wright on the show. And what they're doing out there at the the tech park, it's like, come on, people, let's just raise Tucson up. You go downtown almost any night of the week, they're hiring, because there's a lot of activity going on.
I couldn't believe
down
in the
there.
Process how many people and executives and big companies says we can't find good people.
I know. It's like, let's have greater Tucson leadership just absolutely support and that. And look at the great people that you get. So how do you do outreach, Ms. Suzanne McFarland? Like, it has to be, even though there's probably a robust alumni group, is that one of the ways that you recruit people? Because there's so much going on. What's your plan of action when it comes to recruitment?
So I try to do class recruitment all year long, but our official season for class recruitment is January through April. And then we do interviews in May and select our class by the beginning of June. Yes. And we've got a vast network of people. We have so many speakers that have come to our program and participated. We have sponsors of our programs. We have sponsors of our Man and Woman of the Year event. We have a huge alumni database now that we reach out to folks and say, hey, who do you know? And we're very lucky because we've been around for a long time. And I think that we've proven our worth to our community, that we do actually make a difference in not only people's lives, but the lives of the organizations that maybe sponsor them to go through the program, or the organizations that they represent, or maybe those that they touch in their philanthropic activities as well. So all those folks tend to send people my way. So we are very blessed in that we get incredible applicants.
Every year
we get incredible applicants.
You know, part of it, and I would love you both to speak to this, part of what I love, I'm in this group called Women at the Top, and it's a networking organization, and I love it, okay? One of the things I love is it's just having access to decision makers. Is that one of the things that you see? Because if you want something, you don't have to go through 13 layers. Ben, has that helped you? Like, who makes a decision in your company or in this government agency? And now I have your cell phone and your home phone. It makes things happen. Has that been your experience?
Oh, absolutely. And for being a million people or so in this region of Southern Arizona and Tucson community, Pima County, maybe, it's a small town.
It's such a small town. You do not want to burn a bridge. That's
right,
for sure.
Right. And so to be able to make the connections, meet the people that come and speak to us on a regular basis. And then honestly, after meeting them in person, and some of the people that are in our class, you know, Joseph Blair played, you know, professional basketball play in Italy. He played for U of A. Now he's a coach for U of A, one of the assistant coaches. But he also has this whole entire charity group that does a ton of nonprofit.
On.
Oh my gosh. Right. I mean, the guy is just absolutely everywhere. And
a local hero.
Yeah, local hero. Absolutely. And, you know, in addition, the people in government, the people that are in education, if there's certainly should be a certain topic that people gravitate toward, the people that really apply themselves and feel like they're really connected toward a certain area, can really start to dig in and get involved. And the people that come and talk to us answer our phone calls, like you just said. And, you know, they're going to correspond with you. And next thing you know, a door could be opened up that you never would have expected.
Right, to make your next move. You know, another thing that I think about is the changing environment of social media. Of course, I have to bring this up. But I'm certainly, I mean, I say it all the time, I'm going to be 63 years old. I am forever young. I'm like the Energizer Bunny. I've had to learn so many things in terms of meeting people where they are. In the years just since you've been executive director, is that a way? Do you use Facebook to communicate? Is Twitter a part of it? How has it changed what you're doing? It's not the old-fashioned way anymore.
Sometimes I think about, what did they do before everything that what we did have they now do? Available. Like we're emailing to send out class recruitment information and applications and nominations.
How'd you
for
live
this,
without it? Right.
This awards thing that we have coming up. And it's sort of interesting. So, we use MailChimp to send out newsletters. We use Facebook on a weekly basis. We use Twitter. A lot of email communication to folks in our vast network to get things done. We also partner with a lot of different organizations. We're a partner program of the Tucson Metro Chamber.
Right.
So we're now back at the chamber, but we're still a separate nonprofit organization. So they send
out
communication.
It went full circle.
I know. It's actually very fun.
It is.
And they help promote us, but they use a lot of their social media as well, or in addition, their email activity that they do. They support what we do too. So we use all that. And that's really how we get the word out and how we communicate with folks.
And by the way, kudos for getting on top of all your social media. That's really
thanks, Ben. It's daunting. I mean, it's daunting to know, to be found with the passion that I have for, you know, preservation of the planet and creating a global community. If I wasn't learning every newest social media tag and hashtag, and I'm on Instagram everywhere I go, because it's meeting people where they are. And when your message is that important, it really does matter.
I was actually really quite stubborn about social media personally. I knew about just about every one of my friends that was on Facebook, and about a couple, probably 2 or 3 years ago, my business coach actually convinced me to get on there for business purposes, just for a bit visibility and the ability to connect with people. And suddenly, I've got like 800 friends, and of course, I'm addicted to it. But aside from that, it's an amazing way from a nonprofit or an organizational standpoint, like GTL or the Young Professionals or anything that you're involved with, to continue to get your message out, get other people involved that are in the community that aren't necessarily on your email list or your phone list, for that matter.
The world is your oyster.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's what happens. So to me, if used properly, which I think some people that are putting, they're tired and they're taking a nap or they're sneezing, it's like, really? So for the kind of things that you're talking about, the business connections, it's so easy. If I get an invitation to an event on Facebook, I can respond. It says, put it in my appointment calendar. We're talking 2 clicks. So I think it's a really great opportunity for that. So let's talk about, because I knew time would fly and then we'll be like saying, okay. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the tradition of Tucson Man and Woman of the Year and why you kept that and why you think it's of value to this community. Ben, you're the chair, so you get to field that one first.
Looking back on the nominees and the honorees of past years, it's pretty amazing. There are always pillars in the community and people who, I mean, I think one time after another have demonstrated just an amazing level of leadership here in town, and not only in their professional lives, but also their philanthropic lives and their ability to donate and to contribute to the community being a better place. And so it's really an honor and a privilege to be involved with this, for this event to be hosted and put on by Greater Tucson Leadership, because it gives us the ability to showcase the people in the long run that really have done everything that we're hoping all of our graduates are able to do one of these days and be able to accomplish in the process. You know, you see the billboard every year. We've got great community support.
Right,
it's a
right.
huge gala type of dinner, and it's a neat opportunity to be able to honor people that have really stepped up and put themselves out there in a really giving way to make sure that this community is moving forward.
And for to me, there's a really great value to emphasizing something so positive about contributors. And I'm going to tell you another thing I like about it. It's not all the names of the people that have gotten so many awards they have to put an addition on their room. And I know some of those people. They don't want any more awards. They've done it, but it's really a way to recognize people that are maybe in some cases an unsung hero, or you get it. So how does the process work?
Well, I'll give you a brief bit of history about it. The Tucson Ad Club started this 61 years ago.
Oh, my God.
And they gave it to the Tucson Metro Chamber. They had it for about 28 years. And then when we created that partnership, they said, we think this would actually be a really good fit for you, because we build leaders, and that's a celebration of leadership. So the process, and it's nice what you said about these sort of unsung heroes, because we also have, in addition to Man and Woman of the Year, we have a Founders Award.
Tell me
and
about that.
That's really cool, because last year we chose Tom Chandler, who is
amazing,
just amazing. But talk about an unsung hero. I mean, he's just he has spent his lifetime in service to our community and individuals in a very quiet and unassuming way. So it was such a privilege to have him honored, to have him say, "I will never forget this," at his 92 years of age. It was very, very touching moment for everybody. So the nomination process worked. We actually just completed the nomination process, and tomorrow we're actually doing our selection. So we set nominations from like the beginning, for about 3 week period,
right,
from about 3.5, I guess, from the beginning of October till the beginning of November. And we have a community group of judges. So we have 10 judges coming tomorrow, rating folks on the criteria that were asked about these folks in the application. So we have many nominees for each of the categories of Man of the Year, Woman of the Year, and Founders Award. So tomorrow our community judges will rate them on each of the categories in the nomination form and select the next man
and it's
woman
another
of the
great
year.
Community involvement. Mm-hmm. Even for the people that are doing the selection, learning about other people in the community. I mean, it's very organic. This is the word Mrs. Green has to use. It's really organic, and I like that a lot. And then there's a gala, or gala, as some people say. You know, I'm from Jersey, so I think I say gala. And how does that, is it a formal celebration? Ben, are you excited? Will you be in a
it
tux?
It is, but I will say I get the opportunity to do the judging here tomorrow for the first time myself as the event chair. So to be able to see all the nominees and the way that those have been put together and be able to go through those with the rest of the judges is going to be thrilling. But then Friday, we get to go and surprise the honorees in their homes or their places of business. Oh. And Suzanne's actually going to be on TV. She's going to be able to announce the winners. And so it's a bit of a build up because the folks that are being honored then have a lot of people that, of course, have been influenced by them through the course of their life and their career. And then, you know, in addition to the people that are really just supporting the Greater Tucson leadership and the leadership coming through this community, get to go and celebrate those folks at that dinner and the event. And we have different, you know, I mean, we had some music last time, or there's some singing actually that was really inspirational. But the dinner and the speaking and the ability to hear from past nominees as well as the current honorees is just really touching.
It's exciting. And it's, again, it's about joy and celebration. And there's so much bad news out there, especially recently. It's like, okay, when's the next tsunami or typhoon? And there's so many challenges that we face as a country and unrest. So it's really, I'm all about, let's focus on the positive and what we can change and make happen. So in the last couple of minutes that we have, there's two things I want to recap. One is, how do people find you? Give the website. You're going to start nominations. We have 2 minutes left. We'll give you plenty of time to talk about the nominations if they want to participate in Greater Tucson Leadership Classes. That starts in January?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
So our website is www.greatertucsonleadership.org.
That is not hard to remember.
That is easy to remember. Our applications will be online probably towards the end of January and available till about mid-April. And they can reach us at our office, which is 520-792-2250, extension 140. I'm happy to talk to anybody who's interested and wants to know more about it. And then we have our event coming up in February 7th is our event, and we're still seeking sponsors for that. And also anybody who would like to attend, we have tickets available on sale on our website right now.
See, that's awesome. That's really awesome.
And of course, Facebook.
And of course, Facebook. We don't want to forget that. And we'll be tweeting about it. So there's
Greater Tucson Leadership, for
community to do that. So everybody, to just recap, this was a great interview. The time flew. Thank you, Suzanne McFarlane and Ben Korn from the Greater Tucson Leadership Program. Thanks for all you do for our community. It was a great, 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 very fast-paced time. Okay, next week, everybody. Liz Galillo, I think that's how you say her name. It's Galillo. Liz, if you're listening, sorry. And Andrea Brooks from Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. Goodwill equals good partners in this community. Indeed, they are. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I invite you to stay a part of my world, Facebook, Twitter, and you can find it all at MrsGreensWorld.com. Make it a great Green Week, and thank you for all you're doing to make our community stronger.